the letter to the Philippians, and we're at the second chapter, and commencing to read at verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, and you will notice there is no question mark behind that, because the if there is not the if of a question. You'll find there are four ifs in this little verse. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. And there's an old translation that translates the word if to since. Since there are consolations in Christ and comfort of love, and there is fellowship of the Spirit, and there are bowels and mercies. He says, since all these things are there for you, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. This is the plea he's making to the church. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. As I've lived through my lifetime, I think I can say that I've seen these two things work in the church often. Strife and vainglory has come in to destroy the flock. Lord takes up sometimes people to bring strife into the church. Paul wasn't afraid to use the word. And sometimes vain glory comes in to destroy the flock. And when it's somebody who's bringing strife into the flock, the devil will give him or her a hand. And of course, if it's vain glory, it's flesh that pushes them on. Here's a mighty word, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. This is how you accomplish this, he says. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I believe in my heart and soul this morning that this is one of the most moving and one of the most touching and one of the most soul-stirring passages or paragraphs in the whole of the New Testament. I believe that there's a part of this that all of us should strive to sort of remember, put it into our hearts, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, and thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And I think we need to put those sort of things into our hearts, because that's the mind of Christ. I believe that Paul took his pen here and he sketched out this picture of the golden stairway from the heights of glory right down to the deep depths of the cross of Calvary. Geoffrey brought this to my mind the other morning as he preached at the table. He said many years ago, Mr. Mullen talked about this golden stairway. And you know, the first step up on the stairway, the landing, as I would call it, you can't see it properly, because it's in the glory. You see, he was in the form of God. I think the Russellites are a bit slow with this phrase. He was in the form of God. You can't argue that, nor twist it, nor turn it. Yea, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He didn't have to steal the equality with God, you know. It wasn't the thing that he needed to steal. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. No, he was equal. You know, I don't think that we can properly understand this morning what it would be for anyone to be equal with God. Just think for a moment about being equal with God in his power. That would be something. You see, God just spake and it was done. Don't forget it was our Lord Jesus that spake. Don't forget that without him was not anything made that was made. Don't forget that when the Father is talking to the Son in Hebrews chapter 1, the Father said to the Son, "And thou, Lord," the Father called him Lord, "and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands." You see, our Lord was equal in power. Yes, it was our Lord who stretched the north over the empty space. That's our Lord. Can you think for a moment of what it would mean to be equal with God in wisdom? He's the all-wise God. Ah, well, our Lord Jesus was equal with God in wisdom. Yes, he was. I can assure you of that. You see, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in him today and will be found in him forever. I wish we could get this clearly, but then it's so covered in glory that we can't see this first step. He's in the glory. He's in the form of God. Don't ask me to explain it, because I can't. He's equal with God. I can't explain that properly either. I just believe all that. That's the landing up there, but I can't see it properly. It's all clad in glory. But he took a step down this stairway. Do you see it? Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. What a step that was. You can see that step, you know. He steps out of the glory onto the first step on the stairway. He becomes a lowly Nazarene. He was God manifest in flesh now. And mind you, when he stepped out of the glory onto the step, he made himself of no reputation. He could have come as the greatest statesman in this world, because he could have ruled all the nations, and will do one day. The government of this whole world and all the nations shall be upon his shoulder. Oh, when Bagan and Sadat went to see him, and I preached and said it was nonsense, and then they met and they were going to make a peace pact, and then people said, "You're wrong, you've missed it." Am I? They're fighting this morning, Wolf. And it's not signed yet, and they've got their 80,000 quid and all that. They get money now for talking about peace, but they haven't made it. Nor the peace people of the north of Ireland who got the money never made it either. Oh, what a wonderful world we're in. Yes. You'll find out it's not made, and it won't be made. This book says it won't be made. You see, if we go by the book, we'll be all right. Our Lord Jesus could have come as the greatest statesman. He could have come as the greatest scientist. He could have come as the greatest medical specialist that ever lived. He knows everything about this heart. Oh, yes, of course he does. He made it. He knows everything about the brain. He knows everything about the eye. Sure, he made this body, and it's fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh, but he who could have come, he just made himself of no reputation. If you could only see Nazareth, if you could only see the little carpenter's shop, and it's not even like a carpenter shop that you have seen. Oh, it's only a backyard lean-to. That's where he grew up as the carpenter's son. And you see him stepping down. Would to God we could learn to step down sometimes. Some of us so big we can't get down. Let this mind be in you. He stepped down, you know. Just stepped down. Made himself of no reputation. What's the next step? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. He's onto a lower rung now. That phrase, the form of a servant, is the form of a slave. Oh, I know he was Jehovah's slave. But he became a slave. He came to do God's will. He came to just obey the word of God, no matter what it meant, and he knew exactly what it meant. See him stepping down? Yes, what's the next step? Being found, he was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man. Let's put the two together. If you just watch this, you can see him first of all in the form of God. Try and imagine that. Then you can see him as the lowly Nazarene, the carpenter's son. No reputation in that. Then you can see him as the slave of Jehovah. Then you can see him as a man. The man, Christ Jesus, the man of sorrows. Oh, yes. He's coming down this ladder. And then it says, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. That's the text for this morning, but I don't want to just take it just at this moment. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I want you to see this whole scene. I want you to see this golden stairway. I want you to see him in the form of God. Then I want you to see him stepping down willingly, making himself of no reputation. Then I want you to see him as the slave of Jehovah. Then I want you to see him as a man of sorrows. And then I want you to see him as the Lamb of God. Way on down. This last step is the way down into the depths of Calvary, and you can't see it either. You can't see the first one. It's covered with glory. And this one goes down so deep that none of the ransomed ever knew. How deep were the waters crossed? I want you to get this. And what Paul is trying to get over, he's not just building a stairway. He's trying to get the mind of Christ over to this assembly. This assembly, for some reason, was in danger through vain glory or strife. He says, there's only one way out of this. You humble yourself. And he's bringing the great example. Are you listening? Because you might need to sit up and listen this morning. And if some of you push it too far, you'll remember you never listened. Just let this mind be in you. He humbled himself. I think it's a mighty phrase, you know. It's the message of the whole New Testament, you know. See him in the manger. It's the same thing, isn't it? He humbled himself. See him sitting at Sychar's well, do you? Waiting on the woman come. My God, some of you who do a lot of arguing couldn't do it. See him in Gethsemane under the olive trees, do you? Humbled himself. See him standing when they spit in his face and pluck the hairs from his cheeks. It's the message that's right through this book. He humbled himself. Yes. What an experience it is. What an experience it must have been for him. You know, when I began to think, it scares me. And I began to think of him humbling himself in infancy. Oh, he was in the form of God. Let's try to keep it the way it is. Stepping out of the glory and becoming a tiny little babe. You know, there's 1,000 little humilities in infancy that you cannot preach on. You're not allowed to preach on. Remember, his mother had to wash him as a baby. The Virgin Mary washed him. I don't know about nappies. I'm not going into that. I do know there were no milk bottles. I know that he was fed at her breast. Now don't push me any further. I just know there's 1,000 intimacies here that he humbled himself into. I just know that. That maybe we wouldn't be willing for. We're too big, you know. Let this mind get into you. Yes, he humbled himself in infancy. I can tell you this, that he humbled himself in poverty. He became poor. Really poor. I'm not so sure that any one of us can follow him. I don't think that anybody will ever become poor for you again. I don't think so. I believe that if you were in need, you might get a pound or two, but nobody will give up everything for you. He humbled himself. You know, he humbled himself in infancy and poverty. He humbled himself in nationality. He became a Jew. That wasn't anything to boast about, you know. Now I'll tell you, he had the face of a Jew. When he sat on Sychar's well, when the woman of Sychar came, she said, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest water of me, woman of Samaria?" Yes, he looked like a Jew. Oh, he humbled himself. I think that he humbled himself not only in infancy and and in poverty and nationality. But when he went and stood before the enemy, you know, it was the Spirit that took him up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Somebody asked me the other night, could he sin? No, he couldn't sin. There wasn't a chance of him sinning. He was God to begin with, and God cannot sin. So I don't listen to this sort of tripe. Let me tell you that if he could sin yesterday, he could sin today, because he's the same yesterday and today and forever. There wasn't any chance of him sinning. Then you see they turn the task on you. They say, well, what's the use of tempting him if he cannot sin? Oh, there is use, you know. Oh, indeed there is. You know, when Spurgeon was asked by a South African, could Christ sin? He said, certainly not. He was God. Then the South African said, what was the use of tempting him then? He said, did you ever see a silver mine in South Africa? Did. He says, I work in one. Did you ever see a piece of silver that came straight out of the mine without any alloy in it at all? Pure silver straight out of the ground? He says, I've got a piece in my waistcoat pocket. Takes it out a little bit. Says, that's straight out of the mine. Nobody's ever touched it. It's pure silver. How do you know? Said Spurgeon. He says, it was thoroughly tested. He said, that's what they did with the Lord. They thoroughly tested him. Just to prove he was pure. My dear friends. But the fact, let's not lose this. He had to go in the wilderness and stand before the serpent and listen to the old diabolical suggestions. That is humility. To stand and listen to Satan talking. Yes, but he was being proved, and it was God's way for him, and it was God's will for him. Yes. Oh, I think you can see this, can't you? Yes, I think you can see it quite well. You know, he humbled himself in infancy, in poverty, nationality, for the enemy. In agony. Oh, to stand and let somebody spit in your face and thump you with a cane and rip your back into furrows. Never open your mouth once. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Who can compare with thee? Yes, I want you to get this. It was an experience, wasn't it? See this phrase, he humbled himself. It is not only an experience for him. It's a mighty expression. Paul seemed to sum everything up when he was talking to this church and trying to get it over. He humbled himself. This is what would save the young. This is what he believed. Why did he humble himself? Why did he become an infant? Why did he go to the cross? Why did he do all these things? Because he loved us so. But this phrase, he humbled himself, it is not only an experience that was his. It's not only an expression of his love. Let me get this over to you. It was an example for us to follow. Let this mind be in you. That's the bit. You see, if we're going to have any peace in the church, and we're going to have any peace in the house, or we're going to have any peace in the land, we need to know something about humbling ourselves. Yeah. Sometimes Mrs. Mull and I have words. Maybe more times than you think. And very often it is me, not her. And the only way to put it right that I found out now, and we're nearly 50 years married, is for me to walk down and say, listen, I'm wrong. It takes me sometimes a wee while to get around to that. Can we get this over this morning? Oh, that this church could gather tomorrow night, that every one of us could get this mind. And if you don't, you can wreck this place. And if you wreck it, be it on your head. I'm telling you, I'm talking to you in real sincerity this morning. Just you come with love and longing for the will of God, and whatever the will of God would be, should it be going to the moon, then I'm ready for it. But I'm not ready for strife and vainglory. And if we can only humble ourselves, I think we'll find the right turn in the road. And I believe that the better days are ahead. I may not be here, but may the better days be here. God bless you.